Father, we lift up Your name today. Lord, it's all for what You have done for us that gives us a reason to praise. It's all about who You are and Your character, Your holiness, and then the love and the mercy that sent Jesus to be one of us. And Lord, I pray that today we would rest in You. That God, that You would be our rock, that You would be our fortress. And Lord, that we would see You as our authority and the one that changes our lives. And Lord, I pray that Your word would just substantiate and Your word would just validate and Your word would, Lord, just give us stability today. And we'll give You the praise for it. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. As our kids are being dismissed, I'll meet the leader right here up front for Kids Connect. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Here we are just a few weeks away from Easter. And this is a very powerful time for us as believers. And something that I think that a lot of times gets put behind the Christmas season, but really should be elevated above the Christmas season, because Easter is what gives Christmas its meaning. Because through Easter, that birth of that baby has substance. And so as we lead up to Easter in the next few weeks, I want us to take and look at some passages that give us a lot about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us and what He provides for us. And we're going to look at some different characteristics and see Him in some different lights and as we lead up to that Easter Sunday. And this morning, as we look here in Matthew chapter 7, we're really coming at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount in of itself is an incredible teaching that we see from Jesus Christ and an incredible ministry that He has there. And what's interesting, you go back and you look at the Sermon on the Mount and it says Jesus took a step back, He sat down and He began to teach His disciples. But as He was teaching His disciples, a crowd gathers as well. So not only do you have those that are following Jesus, but you also have those that are seeing all this that's going on. They've heard maybe a little bit about Jesus. They've seen and heard about His miracles, His healing. They're coming out to see, who is this? What is He all about? And so Jesus is sitting there, and really they believe this happened in an area that's kind of called the Horns of Hattin. It was kind of a little range of some foothills and different areas, and it had an incredible acoustic range. And so Jesus is sitting here and He is beginning to teach about the kingdom of God. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, we have incredible teaching where Jesus gives us more depth to what the law had brought. As you read through it, you hear different things like, you know, it's written in the law. The law says this, but I tell you. The law says don't murder, but I tell you, if any man regards man with anger in his heart, you know, he's already guilty. And we see this as well. You know, the law says do not commit adultery, but if you have, I tell you that if you have lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. And you see these ways that Jesus is teaching, and He's bringing out the law, and He keeps saying, you know, the law says this, but I say this. And so to these that are sitting there and these that are sitting round about, you know, the law is their authority, and the law is this one that they've looked to and this guy that they've been to, and they have these that are there not only over the written law but also the oral tradition of the law. And so all this is playing in their minds, and then they're hearing Jesus say, but I say to you. And all of a sudden there is this brand new dynamic that's developing around who this Jesus is. And so He begins to teach, and all this that we see here in the Sermon on the Mount is still, it gives us incredible principles as how to live as believers. There are lots of challenges in there. But also there are a lot of promises. He gives a model prayer, what you know most have called the Lord's Prayer, and it's really a model prayer. He says, pray in like manner, pray after this. We see teachings that deal about worry. We see teachings that deal about judging. But then he comes down to the end, and I want you to see this here in Matthew chapter 7. And let us be encouraged today by this passage in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and it beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This morning, I want you to see Jesus as the rock. Jesus as the rock. And as we look here in this passage, we're not only going to just see Jesus as the rock, but we're going to see his teachings and what we do with his teachings that produce this rock in our life. This morning, you'll be thankful to hear I only have 2 points. And I'll probably still find a way to make it go long, right? I heard that, Brad. But in these 2 points, I want us to focus on what Jesus is bringing out here about all this. After he had this incredible teaching and Sermon through the Mount, I want you to see what he says about this rock. And first off, we see is to build on the rock. Build on the rock. As we look here in these passages, we see a comparison and a contrasting that begins to happen. In verse 24, he's giving us a picture. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now in verse 26, we see the other aspect. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So immediately we see the contrast here between the two types. We see a wise man and we see the foolish man. We see the differences that are in there. And let's pick apart the other differences that we see. The wise man who built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. So we see a different foundation. The wise man's building on the rock. The foolish man's building on the sand. But notice, as that happens, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, it beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock for the wise man. For the foolish man, the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Very simply, Jesus is telling us, build on the rock. So what does it mean to build on the rock? Notice the difference, and what is the difference between the wise and the foolish man? In verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. So what is the difference between? The difference in between is not those who are hearing it. The difference in between is those who are hearing it and doing it and responding to who Jesus is. You see, because it's not just enough to know about Jesus. There is something that we have to do about who he is, and there is an ability to take who he is and what he means to us and all that he's done and all of his teaching, and we are not only just to sit there and know it, but we must do something with it. And those that do them will be like a wise man. To build the house on the rock, it requires obedience. Obedience is the way to building the house on the rock. Just to sit and to hear and just to take in knowledge gets us nowhere. You know, growing up, we learned different sayings and different things from our families that are passed down. And you know, in at different times, my dad would talk about those that had all the book smarts that there could be. but they were dumber than a bag of hammers. You ever heard that? You know, I feel sometimes that we as Christians can do the same thing, that, you know what, a lot of times we can know a lot about Jesus, but if we don't follow through, what good is that knowledge? What good is what we know about Jesus if we are not going to do what He says? If we are going to build on the rock, what we know must then be put into action. There must be obedience. I was reading from John MacArthur in his commentary on this, and he gave three aspects of the man who builds his house on the rock. He says he's not in a hurry. He gives a max effort, and he's teachable. Because he's one that is not in a hurry. He's not trying to just throw something up and get something done and put something together. He is calculating. He is looking. He's looking for the rock. And then he gives max effort because he's going to dig down until he hits the rock. And when he hits the rock, then he can build. He's teachable because he is looking to see what is right. And there we see the qualities, the characteristics of the wise man. They are not only going to be someone that just hears and just takes it in, but they're going to be somebody that's going to take it, give max effort, and obey and follow the Lord through with it. There has to be obedience in the walk to see this foundation that is built upon the rock. Jesus as our rock, and this teaching that He gives us, we go through, as you look through the teaching and the Sermon on the Mount, you see all these different aspects that He's bringing out. Anger, lust, divorce, oaths, retaliation, love of your enemies. All these different areas. Do not be anxious. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where it will not be corrupted. And we see all this teaching back and forth. Folks, it will do us no good if we don't follow through and do it. You can know all of the Bible that there is. You can know all about who Jesus is. But until you make Him personal and real and follow through with Him as being your Savior, there is no effect. In fact, look just above this passage in chapter 7 in verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, on that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Those coming to Him saying, "Lord, Lord," they seem to know who He was. They had a proclamation about Him, "Lord, Lord," but yet He says, "I never knew you," because there was not the will of the Father being done. Now listen, works do not earn us salvation. Jesus Christ has done the work of salvation, but our obedience shows something's gone on in our heart. That there's been a change that's happened. And those that name the name of Jesus Christ are going to walk in what He has taught us. We want to build on the rock. And secondly, we want to rest on the rock. We want to rest on the rock. Because notice what happens. Verse 25, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. You know what is the same in both the wise man and in the fool? The same that is in the wise man and the fool is the fact that the rains came, that the floods came, that the winds blew and it beat on the house. Both to the wise and both to the fool, we see the winds, we see the rains, we see the floods. And folks, what we need to understand is that the trials, they come to whether you're wise or whether you're fool, that there are trials that are going to come. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And where do we see the stand happen? For those that have been founded on the rock. And so when the trials come, when the winds begin to pick up, and when it starts beating upon the house, and when the floods begin to rise, how in the world can we get through it? We can get through it because we're founded on the rock. We can rest in that security. You ever been through a major storm? You know, from time to time out here, we have these little whirlwinds they call tornadoes. In Florida, we had tropical breezes they called hurricanes. You know, in Florida, in our house there in Florida, it was a two-story house. And it was built in the 40s, 50s, somewhere in there. The walls, it was built to withstand these hurricanes and these winds. I mean, they were concrete block, and then they had brick for the walls and everything, and stucco everywhere on the inside and all this. And it is a strong, sturdy house, but I'll never forget, you know, there in my room as a little kid, and when those thunderstorms would roll in at night, and I tell you, when that wind is just howling, and it's just, we had the old windows that were three panes, and you would do the crank, and they would just kind of crank out like this. Well, some of them didn't shut completely, and so they'd just sit there and flap when it got really, the storm began to just beat on the house. And then there were trees across our backyard. They're not there anymore because of some hurricanes, but they were there when I was growing up, and they would just sit there and beat against the house and beat against the house. You know, it was terrifying to me as a kid. That sometimes my memories still terrify me. But as that winds blow and all that, and when you go through a storm and all that that's raging, you know, there's worries. Hey, is the roof about to come off this thing? What's about to happen? The fact of the storms and the trials, when we go through them, there is a place that we can rest, and that's when we're founded on the rock. That we know that no matter the storm, no matter the trial, no matter what we're going through, that no matter the winds, it is not strong enough to get us off the rock. Because you see, as believers, when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that does not mean we're not going to go through the trials. And our weeks can be just as painful as those that have no hope through Jesus Christ. Our weeks can include just as much uncertainty. Whether it's a diagnosis, whether it's health testing, whether it's job situations, whether it's family situations, our lives can go through the same trials. And being a Christian does not mean that we are absent of these trials, that we are absent of the storms, of the winds, and all that's going on. Being a Christian and being a follower of Jesus Christ means, no, I have a rock that I'm founded on for when those trials hit. I have a foundation. Because you look there on those words, and when they beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. That word there for founded, it's the idea that there was an action that happened, and that action and that founding on the rock happened, and it is producing an ongoing result. That it is standing through the storms, it's standing through the trials, it's standing through everything because it has been founded on the rock. And that is what we have through Jesus Christ. He produces that stability. So what we have to do is to trust. We trust. And we show our trust by how we follow through in obedience. When He teaches and when He guides us and when He gives us His Word, we have the opportunity to follow through in obedience. That means that we need to know what He says. You know, when we go through the trials and the different things, and I've seen different people talk about, you know, I'm going through this and all this is going on, and I just want God to show me something. I want God to tell me something. I want God to speak to me. You know, I've been praying and I've been talking to Him, and I want God to answer, and I want God to do these different things. And one of the questions I ask is, oh, have you been reading the Bible? Have you been in God's Word? Because so many times we want God just to talk to us and just to show things, and God's saying, I want to. It's right here. Be founded on the rock. Put the Word in your life. Psalm 119 verse 9 tells us that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy Word. That when we put the Word of God into our life and we not only just know it, but we do it, we actualize, we apply it, we put it to work in our life, we then have a foundation on the rock. It gives us that stability. You know, Psalm 23, it's one of the most famous psalms, but the beautiful thing about the Psalm 23 is that it is a psalm of trust. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, David has put his trust in the Lord to guide him, to be his shepherd. And when he put his trust in him, he knows that I shall not want. He's going to bring rest. He's going to bring protection. Even as he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll fear no evil because he's with him. And in the presence of his enemies, he'll prepare a table. It's a psalm of trust, and we see it throughout David's life. And this is what we see here with the wise man who builds his house on the rock, who takes the teachings, who takes the word of God, who puts it into his life, who takes the promises that we see in Jesus Christ, and not only hears them, but does them. It brings stability. You see, when you walk in obedience, you begin to set a precedent. And when you walk in obedience and you see God fulfill His promises and you see God answer prayers, then when you come up to the next trial, you know, hey, I can walk in obedience because when I did before, God answered this prayer. God did this before. And I always love when we're talking with the saints and when we're talking with believers and they're telling me, you know what? You know, God did this before in my life and I know that now I can trust Him because of what He's done. It produces a stability when we walk in obedience. And you see, we can walk in obedience because of the rock. Because of the rock. You notice the foolish man, he builds his house on the sand in a hurry, finds a good spot. You know, sometimes sand makes really scenic views. Everybody wants some oceanfront property, right? Or a beachfront. Sand might look pretty, but it's a horrible place to build a foundation. You see, what makes the difference in this passage and what makes the difference for our walk is not what we do, it is the fact that it is founded on the rock. Our obedience becomes stabilizing because we're obeying the rock. We're obeying the authority. We see the authority of the rock. Notice what happens after Jesus says this and after all this teaching. Notice verses 28 and 29 again. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. They were just astonished. They were sitting there listening to him and all that was going on. And those times where he said, you know, the law says this, but I say this unto you. And all of a sudden they're picking up on this and they're picking up on this. And there's an incredible amount of morality, of ethics that we see built into the Sermon on the Mount and all that he's teaching and all that he's teaching about their lives. And they are sitting there and they're astonished because of the authority that he's laying down. The scribes were their authority. They're the ones who taught the law and were protectors of that oral tradition in these different areas. And now there's someone that's teaching something new. There's something different about what he's teaching. Because he was there in the beginning. And as we see this authority, it comes because of who he is. And there is why the wise man builds his house on the rock, because the rock is the authority. The rock is the authority. You see, folks, the strength of the house comes from the strength of the rock. The strength of the house comes from the strength of the rock. The rock is our authority. If you don't think a rock is an authority, let me go grab a couple handfuls of them out here. And I'll throw them at you and we'll see if it makes an indention. A rock produces an idea of an authority that there has to be something about it. There has to be something different that happens when you come up to the rock. And the same is true with Christ. There is bringing that stability in our life because He is the rock. He is the authority. You see, folks, houses can be built to withstand hurricanes, but they can't withstand sinkholes. And when that foundation goes out from underneath it, it's swallowed up. Again, living in Florida, that was, you know, one of the constant threats. You see sinkholes all over the place. In our town, there was a huge sinkhole in the middle of a grove that they ended up building a passion play out of. But what happens in a sinkhole is, you know, maybe a water reservoir underneath has dried out, or a pocket has given way, and all of a sudden all that sand and all that, that sugar sand that they have there in Florida, it just goes. And it sinks in and it sinks through. You can build to withstand different winds. You can build to withstand different trials. But when your foundation goes, the house is going to go with it. And I don't care how pretty the house is. I don't care how nice of a house you've built. I don't care how it looks. When the foundation goes, the house goes with it. When we look at Jesus Christ, we need to see Him not just as this great teacher, this great man, this great human, even this one that came down for us, and we need to see Him as our authority. This teacher that brought this truth of God for our life so that we can put our trust in it and that we can rest on that rock so that when the storms come, we have an authority that's going to keep us safe. We have an authority that's going to be able to get through it. Because there's going to come a time when man's wisdom is just not going to meet. When man's wisdom is not going to take care of the winds and the floods. But there comes in Christ and who He is and His teachings that give us that stability. So the question is, who is our source of authority? This morning we have a rock. His name is Jesus. And when we put our faith and we put our trust and walk in obedience into Him, we see that stability. And not only that, we see how it goes forward. I want to read you the opening of 1 Thessalonians. To see how this church was putting this into work and how they were listening, obeying. And notice what happens in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It starts there in verse 2. It says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." The wise man builds their house upon the rock. They take that authority of who Jesus is and they walk in obedience. Today it's simple. Jesus is our rock. He provides our foundation. And as we work up to Easter and as we see these things going through, we are going to see time and time again how Jesus did incredible things, but how through Him we can withstand the trial. But it takes our obedience. It takes us walking and doing what He has said. Not just knowing, but walking in obedience. Where is your house founded today? Shall we stand? There with our heads bowed, our eyes closed as we have this time of response, a time of examination. encourage you each week to use this time just to check your heart and your life and your spiritual walk, to ask yourself, how am I walking with the Lord? How am I doing in obedience? Yeah, you might know the Scriptures. You might know His promises, but it's one thing to know Him and it's another thing to trust in Him and to walk in obedience. And this morning, are you building your house upon the rock? Or are you building a house upon the sand? What areas is God speaking to you about? Where does there need to be a better obedience? Is it towards your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it towards those that are outside? Is it toward our enemies? Is it towards our family? Is it toward God Himself? That we need to walk in better obedience and to follow through on His Word? Because the only way to stand through the rains, the floods, the winds, is to do the words that we see Christ has given us. So this morning, as we come to this invitation, I ask you just to search your heart. Examine your life. See where you need to walk in better obedience. Because see, when we walk in that obedience, God provides the reward. He provides the stability. Where do we need to get it right? Need to know Christ as your Savior? Do you need to make it personal and real and beyond just a knowledge of Him, but to see a heart change? This morning I'd love to show you. Do you need a place to come to be a part of? To be founded on the rock together, I'd love for you to come and be a part with us. Do you need to walk in obedience? Have you made that first step after knowing Christ as your Savior to walk in the obedience of scriptural baptism? If not, we want to show you how. This morning as we sing and as we have this time of response, I pray that you would respond to how God is leading in your heart and life. Our Father, we give it to you. Lord, may we see you as our authority. That you would guide our actions, that you would guide our decisions, you would guide our walk, and we would obey you. Lord, work now as only you can. And we'll give you all the praise for it. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.